Lord, we thank you for all your practical ways in your house. Praise the Lord. We are now at point 7 in the outline. Practical admonishments from the apostles. We don't just have a high calling from Zion, but we also have a many practical admonishments. So we know how to live this vision. I enjoy the beginning here that we have read in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. We are not a part of this world. We are in this world, but we are pilgrims here. But even if we are, sorry if I mispronounce it, sojourners and pilgrims, we still have to deal with this world. I cannot say I'm not of this world, I'm a pilgrim here. Whatever happens in this world doesn't bother me. I don't care. Government, I don't care about them, what they do. Doesn't play a role for me. And how things go at work, I don't care. No, we live in this world. We are not from it. But we are still here. We're a part of it because we are living on this earth. We're not on Mars. And that's why the apostle gave us so many practical ways of things to do. And right after he speaks about separating us from the fleshly desires and lusts and have a good walk amongst the nations, he speaks about the human order in verse 13. Therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And we have to see the word that Peter wrote down here is describing the normal situation, how it actually is supposed to be. God put the powers into place. He puts the governments into place and takes them out of there. But why does God do that? To punish the evildoers and to praise of those who do good. That is according to God's will. That's what the government should serve as or for. You can read it in Romans 13. Starting from verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. So it's the same what Peter said. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So we see God appoints. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now there's the reason for this. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, not a terror for good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And it says, and therefore you must be subject, and so on. Praise the Lord. These verses from Peter as well as from Paul describe the normal situation, how the government that God put into place should be. God wants a government, wants to put a government in place that exempts wrath on evildoers and praises the good doers. And such a government, Peter and Paul say, we must be subject to them and abide them. But what do we do if the government does exactly the opposite? Instead of going after the evildoers, they go after the ones who do good. And those who do good are not benefiting, but they're actually being persecuted. That's not the reason why God put the government in place. So today, if we look into the world, we see the opposite. Those who do good are being punished, and those who do evil, they can walk free. Corrupt people can do what they want. Criminals can do what they want. And the law-abiding citizens, well, they're being cut off. So we must see, if we read the Word of God, we have to have a sober mind so we can discern. Peter also says, be of sound mind and sober. So if the government is like this, that at the end they give all free space to the evildoers and punishes those who do good, then we have to see, do we have to obey such a government? Do we have to be subject to them? No, we cannot use this verse and say it's says that we have to be. Subjects to all governing authorities, so it doesn't matter what they tell you, what they do, you just need to be a subject. Is that what we should do? That's not how these verses, what these verses mean. There's so many examples of brothers and sisters who before us were such a good example. In Hebrews 11 it says, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. What was the command of the king? At that time, the king said, all Hebrew boys that are born, you have to what? You have to throw them in the Nile and kill them. That was the king said, the authority said at that time. The king gave that order, that commandment. Thanks be to God that the parents of Moses did not say be subject to all authority. Else we wouldn't have the 5 books of Moses. He would have ended up in the Nile. Thanks to God, they were not afraid of the king's command. Was he not subject to the government? No, they were not submitting or subject to the government. Same now in verse 27. Praise the Lord, he learned from his parents. By faith, he forsook sake Egypt and fearing not the wrath of the king. The same thing here. Everyone was supposed to stay there in Egypt, but Moses said, no, we're going out of here. And I don't care what you say, king. I do not fear you, your wrath. He was not a blind subject. And he didn't tell to his people, look, Pharaoh was put into place by God. we have to obey him, be subject to him. He was here for 400 years. Let's be another. We were here for 400 years. Let's be here for another 400 years. No, he did not fear the wrath of the king. But not just Moses, all the prophets who lived at the times of the kings, they were always, or almost all the time, if we read all this, things. They were not always submitting to them, to the kings. If they were evil and were not doing what God put them into place, if they were twisted, then the prophets did not obey their laws. At the time of Micah and the king Ahab, he wanted to fight against the Syrians, and they said, ask the prophets, and they asked 400 prophets, and all 400 said, yes, go into war. And they just spoke after the mouth of the king. And they said, is there one more who we can ask? And then he said, there's one more. The king said, there's one more, but I hate him. I hate him. What? The king hates him? Why do you think the king hated him? Because he was speaking after his own mouth and was always obeying him and always did what the king asked of him? No. Because he spoke the truth. Micah. He was hated. So the king sent a messenger to Micah and called him. And on the way there, he spoke to him and said, ah, please, if the king asks you if we should go to war, say the same thing as the 400. That's an order of the king. I'm his messenger. As Peter says, I'm sent by him, so obey me. But what did Micah say? Oh, it's written, be subject to all authority. No. As long as the Lord lives, I will only say what the Lord tells me and not what you tell me. So we need discernment. We need to be able to separate. And if we read the whole story of this king, it seems that only the wrong prophets listen to the kings and do what the kings want them. But the one who stands for the Lord, he cannot just blindly submit. No. The prophet Daniel and his friends, a similar story. His three friends. Did they bow down to Nebuchadnezzar? No. They stood up against the government, and Nebuchadnezzar was the biggest king at that time. He's the head of gold, mighty. But those three dared to go against him because he was against God's law. And the truth was, he was going against the truth. And they had to go into fire because of that. And later with Daniel and the Persians, there was a law from the king. You can only worship him, no one else. Daniel did not obey this law. He didn't care what the king said. Even three times a day, he prayed to his God, the God. And for that, he went into the lion's den. He was also persecuted by the government. The king threw him into that den. But God was with him. Amen. There's so many examples. Don't know which all we need to, should mention. The wise ones, which came at the time of Jesus to worship him, they went to Bethlehem. And on the way there, they went to the king Herodias. And he told them, if you find out where he is, then come back to me and report to me so I can go there and worship him. That was the order of the king. And when they found the Messiah, they had a dream which was telling them to do exactly the opposite. Do not go to him. Again, some who were not subject, submitting. But why? Because it was according to God's plan. You can't just blindly follow. We need to be able to discern, to separate. John the Baptist was brave enough to speak to Herodes and tell him how he was wrong, and he lost his head because of it. And we're now reading in Peter, its letter. Let's read in Acts 5 what Peter did. Verse 28. Did we not strictly command you? Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And the Jews and the scribes in that time, there were the ones who strictly command them not to teach in the name of the Lord. And what did Peter say in verse 29? We ought to obey God rather than man. What? Did we not just read in Peter, obey all human authority? And the same Peter says here now, you have to obey God more than the man, than men. You experience in Acts 5 or your word in 1 Peter? Both is correct. But you need a sober mind. We cannot just blindly do and follow. But we need to have discernment, differentiation. And this we need more in these days than ever. The Lord must help us that we see the authorities and the governments in the right light and not just blindly do what they tell us to. Our own history in Germany shows us that too. Look at the 1930s in Germany. I recently read an article about that time, and it says about 1935, a sentence, at that time, the hostility against Jews was not just allowed, but it was anchored into the law. It was a part of the law. So the authority required this of you, to be against the people of God, to betray them, not to buy from them. And many things were not allowed. Do you want to be subject to such an authority? What would you have done at that time? Peter said, be subject to all authority, but not without discernment, not without differentiation. Today we live in a world where the devil wants to destroy the people. And he uses the authorities and the ruling governments. We cannot just let that happen and be okay with it all, just because it's the chancellor or the president or someone says it. No. Look at the laws in Germany. Next year they want to allow gender transformation. And who is this coming from? From the government. They're making a law, and now a 14-year-old kid can go, a boy can go to the downtown City Hall and say, I'm now a girl. And they have to do it. Change the name, change the sex. Do you want to obey this authority? Be subject to them? No, this is evilness. The church has to say, no, we are not subjects of you. It's impossible for us. Of course, if we are like that, then it's possible that the government will not be very happy about it. But also this, Peter says, if we continue to read, we didn't read to the end. In verse 19, in 1 Peter 2, for this is credit when you are beaten, your faults you take in part patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So whom are they suffering from? Who was after them? The authority. The authority is after them. And therefore we must see, if we deal with the authorities, we need the capability of differentiating and discernment. And we cannot just blindly follow. That's why I like verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. First, fear God, and then honor the king. That's the correct order. Praise the Lord. Jonathan wanted to share 15 minutes.